Welcome to the JackalCast.
All right, well, hello and welcome to the JackalCast. I'm Stephen.
And I'm also Stephen.
Which is wonderful. Anyway, today we are talking about a few different topics, but they all have generally to do with, is this the year that the geek shall inherit the earth? Is this the year that fandom goes completely mainstream? I will save us all some time. No.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Hey, it's been fun. But we're going to go into more excruciating detail because we've got to pad out this 45 minutes somehow.
Absolutely. Well, I will agree with you that the world will not go entirely geek in 2012. But I'm not sure we'll go entirely geek ever. But I will say that the evidence thus far shows us that we are heading in that direction.
Right. Of course, there is the ancient Mayan calendar, which, as everyone knows, ticks off the years until the end of geekdom. And so, according to the prophecy, it shall all come to end. You know, we shall be totally mainstream by December 21st.
Well, you know, completely off topic, I was having a conversation at New Year's with a friend who we were discussing the end of you know, the world and you know, Ragnarok that is coming in December. And he made the argument that all that's really happening is that the Mayan calendar is coming to an end in December of 2012, which all that really means is that in September of 2011, in the mall, you will be able to buy a giant stone tablet, which will have the next 12,000 years on it. What's more is that the calendar, you know, will have probably 12,000 years in a couple of months. That way you don't have to buy it quite on time, you know. You know, you can buy it in August and it'll have the last couple of months of this calendar on it up front so that you don't have to worry about it. So really, it's just the end of the calendar. Now you just have to wait until the new one's out. You can go to the mall and buy it.
It's not just that. It's a business opportunity. We can create whole new Bakhtun calendars with pictures carved into them, attractive pictures, and sell them. And not only will we make some money, but we will be saving the universe.
Absolutely.
So we are recording this just after getting back from the holidays. And the first sign of this coming apocalypse, I think, is the existence of appropriate geeky holiday gifts. My lovely wife got me a Scotty vest, which is the first really geeky appropriate piece of clothing that I actually own. Like all pieces of technological equipment, you do have to spend some time puzzling over the instruction manual, but it has pockets for your glasses with a built-in little rag and so forth. They have a special routing system that enables you to take your earbuds and put them into your clothing so that there are no visible wires. It all runs just subterranean beneath your clothing.
You know, and that's great. You know, when I the first time I saw clothing that actually came with earbuds, I thought that was pretty cool. But let's face it, those earbuds are cheap.
Yes.
You know, you've got a nice pair that you want to use. I'm actually looking right now at the Scotty vest, and it's actually pretty nice looking coat too.
Yes, this is the carry-on coat that I got. We are receiving at present no monetary remuneration for doing any of this, but I would be happy to receive such.
If they're interested, if they'd like to sponsor our podcast,
my
I will take their phone call.
My soul is for sale.
Especially if I can get one of these coats. It actually looks really nice.
They are very nice.
Yes, I got a couple of nice nerdy books. I got That Is All, the final book in the trilogy of Complete World Knowledge as compiled by Mr. John Hodgman.
Yes.
The Daily Show resident expert. Which is good. You want to pick it up early because it does foretell the coming apocalypse and you want to be prepared for it.
Right. And so you need to protect yourself against the dangers of this universe. And so you need That Is All by John Hodgman to tell you about there's a tide of blood that's going to be coming, according to him, and he knows exactly when that's coming. And you need to listen to the JackalCast to find out who Chris Garcia is going to attack next.
Yes. Absolutely. I also got Chris Hardwick's book, The Nerdist Way, our companion in podcast who doesn't know we exist, but we love him anyway.
Wouldn't it be creepy if he did know?
That would be awesome yet creepy, yes. His book is actually really interesting. It's essentially a self-help book. If you want to find it, that's where you'll find it in the bookstore. The concept is to take the compulsive nerdiness that you have and channel it in ways that will benefit you. Yes. Now, there's a couple of things that are happening here in the new year, or are expected to happen, which one might view as portents for the year of the geek. I'm not so sure.
Or for the coming global apocalypse.
Yeah, probably more the latter. One is a reality television show from the people who brought us that bastion of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Integrity.
Class.
Artistic sensibility.
And delicacy. That is Jersey Shore. You know, it's one of those things I can proudly say I have never watched a minute of the show.
I was really going to actually watch it just in preparation for this evening, and then my hands rebelled and flew over my eyes and prevented me from doing such a thing.
Well, I should rephrase. I had seen some of it. However, what I have seen has only been in clips that have been broadcast on other shows.
But you know who Snooki is.
But I know who Snooki is, and this fact bothers me.
Everybody knows who Snooki is. Well, this is one of the signs of the apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, I have never watched the show, yet I could tell you more about this show than I care to admit.
Right.
Having said that, the people who brought us Jersey Shore will be bringing us a new reality show. I believe the working title is Fandom Rising.
The working title was The Project, of course.
That's what they're all called.
Yes. So the casting notice calls for seeking 8 strangers for a mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new lifestyles and relationships, to boldly go where no fanboy or fangirl has gone before.
Ouch.
And it goes on that they are looking for the most passionately obsessed, proudly self-identified pop culture fanatics from the worlds of comics, graphic novels, sci-fi, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, and television. So I poked around in the blogosphere and saw that there was one comment that seemed pretty telling to me. They basically said, okay, they will find 4 incredibly hot women that, if we're lucky, have something to do with fandom, and 4 incredibly geeky guys that have never seen the light of day before in their lives. Basically, this will be kind of mocking the guys and
right.
exploiting the women, shall we say.
Sure. Which is, I mean, welcome to television.
Right.
And I guess that's the thing is, you know, it's not a show for us.
Right.
You know, they don't want us to watch it. Because all we're going to do is watch it and go, what the hell?
Well, it's the latest trend in geeksploitation, I believe.
Because, that's a good word.
Yeah, I doubt if I'm the first person to come up with it. But some people have mixed feelings about Big Bang Theory, saying that, you know, it's kind of more laughing at the geeks there than laughing with them. And the question really is, what form will this take? Will this be more of a laughing at the geeks or laughing with the geeks? And we're pretty sure that it's going to be mostly laughing at the geeks, but we don't really know anything. By the way, if you are auditioning for this, then please drop us a line. I think that would be really interesting to interview a few of the potential cast members, at least briefly.
If only to find out what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, because you're right. I mean, my first thought was, you know, hey, it would be cool to be on TV. My second thought was, well, I have a feeling that I'm just not what they're looking for because I am neither dashingly good-looking enough to be your standard, you know, television personality, nor am I the uber nerd that I have a feeling that they're looking for.
Yeah, and it is not stated anywhere in here, but I get the feeling that they're looking for singles.
Right.
Now, one of the articles that I read said that maybe this was the end of geekery as a whole because this was going to make being a geek so mainstream that it would no longer be cool. And this actually made me think about it for a little bit until I realized the key point that the person had missed. Being a geek was never cool. We were never cool. That's the whole point.
Well, I think what the guy is saying is that to an extent, and I'm not sure I agree with this viewpoint, but I think the implication he's making is that we chose to be nerds because we did not want to be cool.
Right.
It's that tacit connection between nerd and hipster.
Right.
You know, how many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb? It's a really obscure number. I'm sure you've never heard of it.
Yes.
You know, and that part of what makes us proud to be nerds is, let's face it, because the cool kids in school were jackasses.
Right.
And we don't want to be them, and so therefore we will be nerds. And they're going to take nerddom and make it cool, and thus we will not want to be it because we do not want to be cool. I'm not sure I agree with that perspective, but I think that's where that person was going.
And yes, I think that it might change some of the trappings of being a geek. Right now, there's also the trend of actresses being called adorkable and people calling themselves geeks when, in fact, they mean that they can balance a checkbook or something like that. It's become, in some ways, stylish to become a geek. I would call that mostly irrelevant to my life.
How so?
Well, Zooey Deschanel is considered adorkable, and there was a campaign of sorts to get her sort of considered an honorary geek. If anything, that's the sort of thing that might be blown out of proportion. The Geek Chic set that has sort of decided to take on certain aspects of geekery as a fashion statement, that might be pushed out into the too familiar phase to be an interesting fashion point, and that certain aspects of geek fashion might go out of fashion. Once again, most geeks that I know of are completely oblivious to such things. It's just not going to have an effect.
Right. I mean, if geekdom became cool, the geeks wouldn't notice.
Yes. I think that's really the main difference between that and other social movements that fall into this sort of rise and fall. Certain other articles have called this sort of part of the constant... Sometimes mainstream society dips into geek culture and extracts something out of it and then spreads that around. And that this is just the latest incarnation of that particular cycle.
I was watching one of the late night talk shows, and the guy who's on The Big Bang Theory was on. And, you know, full disclosure, I don't watch it.
Right.
Not because I have any problem with the way it portrays geeks, just that I tend to not watch sitcoms, and so right. I don't pay attention to them. And then when I discover that there's one that has nerds in it, it's too late. Mm-hmm. I do not look at sitcoms in the fall TV season and think, maybe I'm going to want to watch that. And watching him, he basically said that he has no idea what most of his dialogue is about.
Right.
Most of the time. He is, in fact, himself not the geek that he portrays on television.
Which is fine. He's an actor.
Absolutely. That's absolutely fine. But it's just an example of, you know, they found him and they went, you can be a geek. Because we want to take that and use it in whatever capacity we think is useful that will make us large quantities of money.
Right. I think that geek is not something, I mean, it is a label that we self-apply, but it's not something that we worry too much about, well, are we really geeks? It's mostly something that the rest of the world calls us. And we just kind of are or we aren't.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I am so certain that geekery will never become fully mainstreamed, because granted, there are plenty of niche shows and so forth that I think that people are going to be more interested in. And science fiction, really, I think it actually is mainstream. I think that people just don't want to talk about it very much.
Well, I mean, it definitely is. I mean, if you look at the top grossing movies of this just past year, 2011, mm-hmm. 8 of the top 10 are what I would call, you know, genre, whatever you want to call them, genre shows, geek, you know, geek films. We're talking about Harry Potter, Transformers, God forgive me, Twilight, Thor, Captain America, Planet of the Apes. You know, these are the movies that everybody went to see.
Right. Plus, I would even say maybe even 9, because I suspect that one of the ones you're leaving out is Cars 2.
No. The two I was leaving out were Fast 5 and the Hangover sequel.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, no, I was including the Cars sequel. I contemplated not including that and calling it 7, but ultimately, it's a movie about talking cars. It's like if you're going to classify that, I think it needs to go into the science fiction fantasy general category.
Right. Yeah, that's true. On the other hand, I mean, I get the impression that some of the things going on in Fast Five and probably The Hangover, strictly speaking, should be considered fantasy.
There's probably an argument to be made there. But you're right. I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, this stuff is mainstream. I mean, Harry Potter is fantasy. Harry Potter is geek stuff. But everybody loves it.
Right.
I haven't actually seen the latest film myself, but I will at some point. I don't know where the Harry Potter fandom started. I did sort of not notice it until about book 3. That was about the point I remember discovering that there was this thing in the world called Harry Potter.
Right. I assume you mean the adult fandom, because otherwise I can answer your question.
Well, I mean, even amongst the kids, what it was about Harry Potter that made it work, I can't answer that. If you can, please go right ahead.
I can't say exactly what it was that struck the particular elements. I think some of it was timing, that we really just needed a new franchise at that point. And it's borrowed from the best. This is not an insult. What was it? I was reading an article in Cracked that was pointing out what all of its ancestry was. It really was just a new branch of a completely standard subgenre of, oh, I'm secretly magic types of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why this particular story became so popular, it's hard to say. Because you know, it could be just as simple as a good marketing campaign for a change. I don't know.
Ultimately, you have to say, hey, let's face it, most of the people who buy the Harry Potter books and went to see the last movie, which was the top grossing film of the year, mm-hmm. you know, most of them do not consider themselves to be geeks.
Right. They don't go to science fiction conventions, for example.
Right. They don't go to conventions. They don't, you know, they were not attracted, I would say, to Harry Potter because of its fantasy elements. It was something else.
Right.
That, I mean, yeah, I think there was something. I think there was, I mean, maybe it was, as you say, just, you know, the need for a franchise. But I think there was something else in the books initially that were what attracted people, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Transformers being the number 2 grossing film, I can't explain that. Most of the geeks I know stayed away from that one, so I can't explain that. And number 3 being Twilight, yeah, that's another one.
We're going to do, I'm afraid, an entire episode on Twilight.
Oh, God. Okay.
Alcohol.
Yeah, I'm going to need lots
alcohol and riff tracks, then. It's the twin pillars of our existence.
I'm going to need more wine for that conversation. God, I'm going to have to read the book then, aren't I?
We can either see the movie or listen to a book on tape.
Oh, dear. All right. So, next.
Next. So, well, we move fandom. To the most mainstream of all, in some ways. Prostitution.
Yes.
So, a man named Dennis Hoff, who is the star of HBO's long-running documentary series Cat House, so the world really is ruled by reality TV. Once again, I believe that this was predicted by the Mayans, has gotten together with infamous Madame Heidi Fleiss, and he's going to open what is either the 3rd or the 4th of his brothel in Nevada. This one is called Alien Cat House, and the idea being that it's going to be a science fiction-themed brothel, whorehouse, whatever you call it. This, of course, spread throughout the blogosphere and the newsosphere and the other ospheres that we've got around here, because it combines vague silliness and sex, making it into the perfect story.
Yeah. It was the perfect story for that holiday week when nothing happens.
Yes.
Any other week, I doubt anyone would have noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Alien Cat House is supposedly its name. And, of course, this could just be another publicity stunt by a guy who apparently puts up billboards in Nevada, despite the fact that that's one of the few things that you really cannot do if you own a prostitution ring, is actually advertise it. Now, if this were a truly science fiction brothel, as in a brothel run to the standards of, like, in Spider Robinson novels, like lady slings the booze, where being a prostitute is just a wonderful thing and it's great for the customers and it's great for the prostitutes and so forth. Or if it was like Robert Heinlein's prostitutes that were just, you know, totally self-employed and self-motivated individuals, then I would say, yeah, this is great. Go for it. Unfortunately, I did a little bit of background research on Dennis Hoff. Doesn't really sound like he's into self-empowerment too much.
No, not
you kind of
so
show
much.
Up there and the women have to just line up and you pick the one you like. And basically combining that with probably body makeup and funny outfits does not take away the distaste.
No. I might pay $100 though if they were doing like, you know, it was like a Barbarella cat house. Everyone, you swallow a pill, close your eyes and touch hands. It costs you $200.
They are called raves.
I suppose so. I don't know. I mean, I get it's, yeah, at this point, I mean, it's just the initial announcement. So obviously most of what's out there is fairly light on details. I mean, I have to assume that it's going to be a case of, oh, do you want the green, you know, belly dancing chick from Star Trek? Right. Or do you want
Orion slave girl?
You know, or do you want, you know, my God, the amount of slave girl Leia outfits that they will now sell in Nevada is going to go through the roof.
Sure.
I mean, I have to assume it's going to be something like that, you know, or it's going to be a standard Nevada brothel with some, you know, funny decorations.
Which would somehow be even sadder.
Yeah, it really would. I mean, if you're going to do this, I mean, let's go, man.
I mean, it would be less inconvenient to the ladies in question because they wouldn't have to wear these things.
Right. But that's, I mean, if you're the one who has to put on, you know, the green body makeup, I guess,
and that stuff comes off. I don't think people understand the thing.
You're gonna put the green body makeup on. You're gonna go out. You're gonna line up. The guy, you know, in the beige Starfleet shirt is gonna choose you. And eventually, you're gonna have to, you know, take a shower and then reapply the body makeup and go back out there.
and your customer is gonna come out green.
Yeah, exactly. Your customer's got to take a shower before he leaves, or maybe that's a thing, like.
Yeah, they'll call it decontamination or something. Yeah. God, that's even worse.
Oh, God. I don't know if we should offer to run this place or if we should run away screaming.
I'm thinking more the runaway screaming, and yet.
And but I bet we could run this place.
Somebody's going to do it. You know, it's always the thing where whenever I think of a horrible business opportunity, part of my brain is saying, okay, well, I would never do such a thing. And then when somebody else actually does it, then I somehow am disappointed in myself.
Right.
I'm thinking that this is just going to be more faux geekery, that what we're going to have here is just an ordinary cat house, I'll use his term.
Yeah.
Dressed up a little bit. And this, you know, this is a guy that's already on a reality TV show. This is probably just another reality TV show in disguise.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I was, you know, in the research that I was doing, I saw that he owns another brothel.
He's got the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, apparently.
Yeah, that's the one I think that the current TV show is about. He's got another one that he wants to renovate, but he's waiting to renovate it until he can get a reality TV show deal to film the renovation. So I have a feeling, yes, that this whole thing is an attempt. It's going to be a reality TV show. And that's, I mean, he probably sold the rights to it before he bothered to buy the place.
Now, despite my distaste for this concept, there is this to say about the legalized prostitution in Nevada, which is that they do test the employees there on a regular basis. It's a lot better than some of the alternatives that are out there. It's just that just because it's a science fiction-based whorehouse doesn't mean that it's a whorehouse that is in a science fiction novel.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure that this was one of the things that the Mayans were predicting as well.
Yeah. That's what we'll call this episode. Various things the Mayans predicted before, you know, the Mayans saw before we did.
The funny thing is that modern-day Mayans, mostly, they're happy about the tourism, you know, because apparently the major thing that's actually expected to happen this year is that tourism is supposed to go up to ancient Aztec and Mayan ruins about, say, 3 times.
Wow.
I made that figure up, but a lot.
That's amazing.
that'll lead to the inevitable backlash when, in 2013, we forget the Mayans existed at all.
Right. Yes. Yes. Once we decide they're wrong, we don't talk about them anymore.
We just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, is there anything else we should be talking about? All right. Well, I think we have determined sufficiently what will destroy us. So,
let's see. Things coming up for the Jackals.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a podcast discussing the Consumer Electronics Show.
Mm-hmm.
We will be at Macworld. Just, I don't know. I'm not sure what we're going to do there, but we will be there.
At least one guy named Steven.
At least one guy named Steven will be at Macworld. And both guys named Steven will be taking advantage of the nerddom that is occurring around San Francisco Sketchfest with checking out both the live Nerdist podcast and Wootstock. Paul and Storm, Will Wheaton, and Adam Savage. They're calling it Founders Night. The big four guys who kind of started the whole Wootstock thing. If you're not familiar with it, please Google it.
So if you don't happen to know us personally, just run around in circles screaming Jackalcast, and either ourselves or some nice people from security will be by shortly.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what's coming up with us. Hey, we're on Facebook. We have an official Facebook page now, facebook.com/Jackalcast. So check that out. We will be posting, you know, we'll be putting the new episodes up as they are released. We will be putting other sci-fi, fantasy, geek, nerd, tech, whatever stuff we can think of that we find interesting on there. So come, you know, like us. Please, like us. We want you to like us.
Really, really like us.
We are still on Twitter. At Con News Jackals, or the name Jackalcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Google Plus as the Jackalcast as well. So, hey, social networking, it's cool stuff. So please network with us.
Absolutely. All right. Well, then, see you next episode.
Bye-bye.